And so, so Linda put it back down and taped it back on. There we go. I tried calling a tow truck, but I couldn't get any service, so. Yeah. Isn't God good? Let's sing that again. Let's sing that together. Come on. Sing that, do that chorus again. That is so awesome. Come on.
We shout your praise, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Come on.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Get on the hand clap of praise. God is good. Look at somebody tell me he's good all the time. Yes. Y'all talk to each other. We can actually talk now. We ain't got to have, we got our mask on. You can talk. You can shake hands. You can do whatever you want to. Within reason, and it's legal. Isn't God good? God is so, so awesome. Last week, we started a journey. Remember, the first of the month, we always do a back to basics. And we did a back to basics called about worry. I know nobody in here is worried about anything. Okay, since there's no answer, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people in here worried about things. How many here has ever been worried about anything? Okay, so we're in here today. We're going to have a good time. Look at somebody said we're going to have a good time. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew. Don't stand up yet. I'll tell you when. Get Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. If you don't know where Matthew is, number one, you're in trouble. Number two, what you need to do is just go to the Old Testament, follow it to the very end, where it says New Testament, that's where you go. Very first book, Matthew chapter 6. You know, worry, did y'all know that worry distorts the facts? Did you know that? It distorts the facts, it distorts the truth. And so because worry distorts the fact and it destroys or distorts the truth, it also blinds us to reality. Okay? Worry will blind you. It's the great exaggerator. And I heard a story. This was so sad that I almost shed a tear, but I wanted to read the story to y'all too. And take care of my toe at the same time. I know it's like a big baby up here, but I tried calling the tow truck. They wouldn't come. So someone had to get a tow truck before we leave here today. Ready? There was a man on the side of the road hitchhiking. He was worried to death. He was going to get all over him. It was a dark night. It's in the middle of a storm. He's worried nobody would see him, didn't know what was going on. It was late at night. No cars were passing, and the storm was so strong he could hardly see a few foot ahead of him. Suddenly, he saw a car coming towards him and stopped. Without further thought, he got in the back seat of the car, closed the door, and when he turns to thank the driver for stopping for him, he realizes there's nobody behind the wheel. Wow. The car starts slowly down the road again. The guy looks at the road ahead and sees a curve coming his way. Scared, he closes his eyes and starts to pray for his life. And just before the car reaches the curve, a hand appears through the window and turns the steering wheel. This is a true story. Wow. This guy, paralyzed with fear, watches how the hand appears every time they come to a curve in the road. Gathering his strength, he leaps from the car and runs to the nearest town. Wit and in shock, he goes to a cafe and asks for a cup of stiff coffee. He quickly drinks his coffee and starts telling everybody about the horrible experience he had just been through. A silence envelops the cafe while the man begins to weep like a baby out of sheer fright from this true experience. About a half hour later, two guys walk into the same cafe. One says to the other, "Look, Bob, that's the guy who got in the car while we were pushing it down the road." All right. Don't y'all get worried that it weren't funny, okay? All right, let's get everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Got your Bible? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Anybody's ever pushed a car knows exactly what was going on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say oh me. All right, we're talking about our great subject, worry, diffusing worry. But today we're going to talk about why do we worry? Why is there a need to worry? Why is there a need? I didn't even know I'd even text it. So I mean, a title. So I just put why worry. Okay. So here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thoughts for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought." Y'all say no thought. "Take no thought. What shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or with what shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father know that you have need of these things." But, we ever see a but in the Bible, remember, if God's saying but, pay attention to what he's trying to say, because he's interrupting the sentence for a definite, specific reason. "But seek ye first," y'all say that, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're alive and well, and we know, God, that you're working in our midst. God, we know, Lord, that we have a very powerful, powerful, powerful Heavenly Father. And Lord, although we can't see all, know all, we can't even see the road ahead of us, just like that man that got in that car, he could not see what was going on. And so whatever he did see just surprised him and took him and just upset him, in the same way in our own life. As God puts his hand in the window and steers our vessel, and we wonder what's going on. We get so upset and so uptight. But God says, "I got this." And I thank you right now for that, God. I ask you right now to minister to us and through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Now get a little hand clap of praise. Now this morning, I always wear a Team Bethany bracelet, or God's got this, and either way I win. But this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "I need you to put on a different one this morning." And so I got a different one this morning, and that is, I'm going to read it to you, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." You know, we hear this, we see this, we ask God, we thank God that it's going to happen, and then we, as we begin to see our life start unfolding, do we not necessarily believe it anymore? You say, well, I still believe it. Really? Oh, we really believe God's going to take care of it. Really? Because although we say we believe God's going to do it, then here comes the problems, and there she blows. I'm going to just put up a few slides from last week just to bring some continuity, and then we're going to go right into why should I worry, okay? So now, number one, as we started talking last week, I want you to watch this. What is worry? Worry is intense emotional distress caused by anxiety. Somebody say, look, not knowing shakes me up. Just say it. Not knowing shakes me up. That's anxiety. Not knowing shakes me up. Now, those that shake us up, many times not knowing shakes us to our very core. Okay? So now, this word for worry, as I began to look into Old English and look even further back into Latin, and when I saw this, it gave me a whole different insight on worry. And it literally is speaking of one animal going to another animal, taking their teeth and sinking it in the other animal's throat, squeezing to crush the windpipe, and then to secure death, it takes that other animal that it's got in its throat and it begins to shake it back and forth. And that is one of the root words for worry. When worry comes into our life, if we're not careful, as worry begins to strike, if I call it the black dog. When the black dog begins to strike in our life, it grabs us at our throat and it begins to squeeze the breath out of us. Have you noticed when you get an anxiety attack, you can't breathe? You have a hard time breathing? Or you find yourself, your pulse racing or your blood pressure going up because the black dog's got you. The black dog's got you. He's around your throat. He's squeezing the air. And not only is he squeezing the air, but he begins to shake you and slam you. That's worry. So this isn't some little garden variety, little Mickey Mouse saying. This is a very powerful tool that Satan uses. He knows if he gets you to worry about everything, then he can keep you from doing anything. Did you hear what I said? If he can get you to worry about everything, then he can keep you from doing anything. Wow. And so it also means to choke, to suffocate, to crowd out, or to crowd in. Again, this is just a couple of slides just so we can keep what's going on here. I want you to think about it. It can keep you up all night. It can siphon away your energy. It can consume your life. It's like a mass explosion in your life. When you begin to worry, it's like all the bombs start popping off and all you can see, you can't see for the smoke. You can't hear. You can't see. And all you can do is just pray that God does something before you just collapse. So worry is a heavy, heavy thing. And the deal is with worry is it comes naturally. It's something you don't have to be taught to do. It's just like sin. You don't have to be taught. You never have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach a child to be good. Amen? Amen? Except for me. My mom didn't have to. Yeah, you believe that, don't you? Well, you don't have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach a child to be good the same way. You have to teach yourself. Some of us have an inclination, or we have a bent that is less bent toward worry. And some of us have some that's right there all the time with worry and anxiety. And then sometimes there's just a seasons in our life, seasons. And during that season, we find ourselves consumed by the black dog. The black dog's got our throat. The black dog's got us so we can't breathe. The black dog is starting to tear us and starting to throw us down. So we talked about last week about how to handle this. And remember, I said there's a difference in worry and concern. You say, well, you mean you're not concerned? I'm very concerned. But here's the difference. Worry is triggered by fear, and it drives fear all the way down the road. Remember, it's triggered by fear and it drives fear until it explodes on you. Concern is triggered by faith and it causes faith to rise up in you. There's a difference. That's why I quit telling people I'm worried about that. I'm worried. No, I started talking about I'm concerned. Because when you just remember, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. When you speak something out, it goes to your ears. And when it goes to your ears, it goes through your ears, in your head, through your heart, into your spirit. And so speaking is a very powerful thing. That's why we talk to ourselves all the time and not realize what we're doing is giving ourselves negative or positive confessions. Okay, so this is the last part from last week. I just combined it, and then we're going to go on in. Look, both address the problem. Worry and concern, they both address your problem. Concern is solution-oriented. It focuses on solving the problem. It has a positive focus on the future. Somebody say faith. Faith. It comes up with options, and it addresses the problem. Somebody that is concerned, here's what you're going to hear. Why not? If somebody's talking to me and I hear him, why not? God can take care of this. You know what? Why not? I believe he can do that. I believe this is going to happen this way, or this is going to take place this way. And they go, okay, why not? That can happen. And so I know they're concerned, but when this happens, they focus on the problem and they have this negative focus on the future. Fear. Y'all say fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Now they're speculating what may happen and what look at all the bad things that could go on, and they're always asking what if. If you're in your mind and you got a problem and all you can say is what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, I'm here to tell you, you're on the worry wagon and the black dog is going to attack you, grab you by your neck, and slam you to the ground. I promise that's going to happen. Some of you here right now, the dog's holding you down and he's got you by the throat as we speak. So here we go. So stress. Anybody here been stressed out? Anybody got children? You've been stressed out. Anybody got a spouse? You've been stressed out. I thought this guy's going, not me, I'm fine. If you have a high-pressure job, you've been stressed out. Stressed out is not a... Look, stressed out is a normal thing that happens, meaning that we're overloaded. That's all. It means we're overloaded. So we can't help from being stressed out, but we can help how long we stay stressed out. And we can also stop the stress from becoming worry, because when the black dog attacks, you can't breathe. And when you can't breathe, you can't think. And when you cannot think, you do silly, silly, harmful things. Amen? Okay, so now, watch this. I'm trying to help you out a little bit. My name is David. I'm here to help. Amen. God never wants us to spend our days, our time worrying. Amen? Not about the future, not about our money nor our need. He wants us to trust Him to provide for us that trust Him. He wants us to trust Him that He's going to provide for us as we trust Him. But I don't know how it's going to happen. Neither do I. I don't know how to get out of this problem. Neither do I. But I refuse to let the black dog take me by the throat. It's hard enough trying to figure out things without having to take a black dog off my throat at the same time. Amen? And the older you get, if you learn how, the older you get, the more capable you can become to handling the black dog. Okay? So worry, here's another. I've been looking at worry all over the place. Worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear. Listen to this. It is a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel in which all other thoughts are drained. Wow. Wow. Instead of, what's this? Instead of, why not? Now it's, what if, what if, what if, what if? Simply stated, it's an unhealthy concern. Worry is an exaggeration of fear. And let me tell you something, and I'm here as a friend, I'm here as a pastor, I'm here as somebody trying to help. Some of you right now, if you don't get a control over the black dog, you're going to bleed out. Let me say it one more time. If you don't get control over the black dog, you're going to bleed out. and bleeding out is no fun. So let's go a little bit further here. Let me just keep on going here. He says, God's pretty cool, isn't he? Don't you think God's good? Yeah, he's good. He knows how to handle us. He knows how to meet every need. And he tells us what we just read, that there's three reasons. Three. Just three. Instead of going, well, I got worried about my kid, how they going to go to college, and I'm worried about my other kid, are they going to make it out of high school? I'm worried about my wife and I, you know, how we're going to make things work, and at work, I mean, I got a boss man that drives me crazy. I got so many things to think about, Pastor. You just quit talking about the black dog and go on. No, I'm not. The black dog's here. And I'm here to take him off of you if you'll let me. With God's help, not by myself. I ain't touching the black dog by myself. Okay? So now, three reasons. God said there's only three. So now you're thinking there's 20 things going on in my life and I can't fix it? It all falls into three categories. Three. If you think about it this way, once you figure this out, it will help you to quicker get rid of the black dog. So now, number one, what you put on. He says, don't even stress about what you're going to wear. Don't even concern about what you're going to be eating. That's consumption. Number one reason that we worry is what we're going to be putting in. Second, what we're going to put on, which means, you know, to carry, protect us, to cover us. And number three, what we put up with. That's circumstances. So in your life, there's only three reasons, three categories for worry. Consumption, cover, and circumstances. I want you to get that in your head. I want you to write it in your Bible right now. Write it in there in Matthew chapter 6. There's three things. There's three categories of worry, and that is what I eat, what I wear, and what I have to handle in my life. Consumption, cover, and circumstances. Now we can break it down. Now we got a little better chance of taking care of that black dog. All right? So, what happens is we go from healthy concern to unhealthy consumption because we let it feed on our mind. Somebody say, black dog, get out of here. All right, I'm glad you said that because I'm going to try to help you out a little bit. I had a guy told me, I was trying to help him. I was counseling, trying to help him, and he said, I worry about everything. I said, no, but we don't need to be worrying. He said, no, I found out that really helps me. I said, worry helps you? He says, yeah, because I found out whatever I worry about usually don't happen. Watch this. I'm going to give you some legitimate facts. Ready? What you worrying about? 40% of what you worry about will never come to pass. 30% involves past decisions that cannot be changed. 12% focus on criticism from others who feel inferior. 10% is health-related, which gets worse when we worry. 8% is legitimate and causes for concern. Wow, look at that. I didn't make this up. This is in you see this in journals, biblical journals and psychological journals. You'll see this stuff as people talking about worrying about what's going on around them. Now watch this. Fewer than one problem in every 10 that we worry about is a real concern. Whoa! Can I say that again? Maybe the black dog will quit breathing down your throat for a minute. Fewer than one problem in every 10 that we worry about is a real concern. All others are things that we can learn to see differently or eliminate. Wow. Wow. Why worry? Why should I worry? We just read this. I don't want to tell you. We just read this scripture. I'm going to read it again. We'll do it this way. Number one reason why we don't need to worry. The same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. I like what Luke says. Luke says, Jesus said, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I reckon he gets tired of counting some people's. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, let me just tell you something, and I've said this so many times. I want you to listen carefully. Get it in your spirit. Get this in your spirit now. The black dog will start releasing his hold. Watch this. Our hair has a collective inventory. God knows how many hairs is on our head. Okay? But that's not what he's talking about. Not at all. What he's talking about is not a collective inventory. He's talking about an individual inventory. He knows you so intimately that not only does he know how many hairs are on your head, each hair has an individual number, and he knows that number. Wow. That's powerful. He doesn't just know that I got 10 million hairs. I'd say he knows that. That's number one. That's number 15,000. That one there is that one there is 6,000, and it's getting ready to be nothing. Think about it. God knows you that intimately. And if he knows you that intimately, then don't you think he knows that you got needs in your life and he knows what's coming? And he sees the black dog trying to attack you. He sees the black dog. He knows that the black dog is there. He hears the black dog. And he says, "Fear not, for you are more value than many sparrows." What's he talking about? He said, "A sparrow cannot fall to the ground and not know." Do you know that God has been to every sparrow's funeral since the beginning of time? If God has been to every sparrow's funeral since the beginning of time, don't you think he can take care of us? I know there's things in the world right now going crazy. I know that there's a lot of stuff going on that doesn't make any sense. And when I listen to it, it makes me mad. And I just can't understand why people think the way they think and the things they're doing. But then I've always got to go back and I say, wait a minute. The hairs of my head are numbered. You've been to every sparrow's funeral, God. You got this. You got this. You got this. Wow. Wow. If you can look, the same God that created you, you can trust him with every minute detail. Reason number two why you don't have to worry. Worrying about the future hampers your efforts for today. He said, watch this. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Now, before you say, "Okay, come on, boss, time I ain't coming in Monday," that ain't what that's talking about. Don't you tell them, "Well, my pastor said I can quit." You know, that's what happened in Thessalonia. When Paul was talking to the Thessalonians and said Jesus Christ is coming back, they all went up, they all quit their jobs and went up on the mountain and waited for Jesus to come back. Did you know that? They all quit their jobs, went up, waited for Jesus. Watch this. God is not saying, don't work. The Word says, in Thessalonians, the second book, you don't work, you don't eat. Get back off the mountain. Quit being up there going, kumbaya, kumbaya, kumbaya. Get back to work. Be a good example. Watch this. But watch for an unhealthy approach to your work. Did you know that work is a gift? It's a privilege. And it's a necessity. Wow. It's a gift. Y'all say it with me. Gift. It's a privilege. It's a necessity. And it's a resource. Okay? Not your source. God is your source, but it's a resource. So now I'm getting along. I've only got 15, 25, 30, 40 reasons not to worry. Ready? I saw some of y'all start frowning right then. You started worrying, didn't you? The black dog grabbed you. I saw the black dog. Rrr. All right. Well, my toe's hurting, so I stood up here so I can preach longer. I'm sitting down so I can preach a lot longer. Somebody said, "Stand up. Stand up, preacher." All right, here we go. Did you know reason number three not to worry? Worrying is more harmful than helpful. Did you know that? He says, "Who of you by worrying can add one single hour to his life?" Worry's not going to add time. Worry's going to take away time. Did you know that? Even if it doesn't take away the length of your life, it will take away the quality of your life. Because you're so busy fighting the black dog, trying to get him off your neck, that you can't enjoy what's going on around you. You got kids, enjoy them. You got a good job, enjoy it. You have a bad job, show them what a good worker looks like at a bad job. Maybe they'll change things. Kind of like, you know, you go to the hairdresser the other day. You know that some people, the people with straight hair, they want it curly. They curl it. The people with curly hair, they straighten it. The people with dark hair or light hair, they dye it. The people with no hair, they buy it. Worried. I heard about one guy, he worried so much that the hair fell out of his toupee. That's worry. Okay, so watch. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, or your definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Why does he say with thanksgiving? Make your request to God with thanksgiving. What does thanksgiving got to do with making my request unto God? What it is I tell God what I'm looking for. I'm telling God what I need. I need your direction. I need your power. I need your anointing. And I thank you for your power. I thank you for your direction. I thank you for your anointing. You know that thank you there is the purest form of faith you can have, because you're thanking God for something you hadn't even received yet. I thank you, God, for fixing this situation. I thank you, God, for moving in my life. I thank you, God, for taking this situation that is totally out of my hands, out of my control. I can't do a thing with it. But I thank you, God, because you see it, you know what to do, and I'll take my hands off of it, and I'll just wait for you, God, to do your thing. All right? So worry is more harmful than helpful. Reason number four. You know God's not ignoring you if you depend on Him. I've heard people say, He don't even hear me. Yeah, He does. He's listening. The only problem is the black dog's got you. All you can hear is, rrr, rrr, rrr. Have you ever gone to watch fireworks and watch all the crowd? They go, watch this. First goes up and they go, ooh. The next one goes up and they do what? Ah. Ooh. Ah. After that big rain we had the other night, I went and laid in the bed, and there was frogs right by the window, and I'm not kidding, the frogs went, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. And I said, all of God's creation is amazed by His word. Wow. God does not ignore those who depend on Him. Watch this. Why do you worry about clothes, seeing how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? We may worry about things, but we have a lot to be thankful for to God. Luke 18:17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall know no wise enter therein. Now what? As a little child. Didn't say childish, as a little child. When DC and Daniel were little, and they said, Daddy, my shoes are getting tight. We'll take care of that. They didn't even worry about it. They knew I was going to get them shoes. Daddy, I'm hungry. Don't worry, boys. Working on getting you something to eat right now. They didn't even think. They said, thank you, Dad. Whatever they needed, and I tell them, it's okay, we got it covered, guess what? They quit worrying about it. Because he had a child-like faith. Let me ask you a question. Do not raise your hand. Do not point. How long has it been since you had a child-like faith with God? Our Heavenly Father. How long has it been? Matter of fact, whose voice are you listening to more? You listening to God, or are you listening to the crowd, or are you just pure swayed by the growl of the black dog? Wow. Y'all can stop worrying now. I'm almost through. I've only got 7, actually. God's number. Number 5, worry shows a lack of faith and understanding of God. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Mark chapter 4. I want you to read this with me. I want you to see it. I want you to get this in your spirit. Some of y'all right now, if you just move a little bit further, the black dog's starting to let go of you. If you just hang with me just a few more minutes, the black dog's going to let go. Mark 4. Let's just go ahead. Let me just go ahead and read 14. Mark 4 and 14. Let's take it a little further back. I'm going to take it even further back. Let's just go ahead and go just read chapter 4. How about that? Because I really, really, really want you to get that black dog off you. Chapter 4. Y'all were sitting down, so it's okay. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. It was like an amphitheater because the mountains were around it. It echoed, and he could just, Peavy couldn't compete with what he was doing. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, which had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Kind of hard to hear it when the black dog's growling. Come on. It's hard to hear this when the black dog's got you by the throat. And you're just doing the best you can to breathe. You're doing the best you can to stay above ground, to stay above water. So here it goes. And when he was alone, they that were about him were with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all those things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. At least at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will they know all parables? And the sower soweth the word. What we're doing right now, you're hearing the word of God. And they that are by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. Have you ever gone to a church service and you shouted and had a good time, and as you walked out the door, somebody said, man, that was an awesome service. What was that scripture he said? What scripture? He said, I just got a bad memory. No, you got Satan playing with you. The black dog is following you. And the black dog is toying with you like a cat and a mouse. And then they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown by also among thorns, such as hears the word, and the cares of this world, here we go, bingo, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, but as they hear the word and receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Wow. Now turn to Luke chapter 8. You need to mark these. Mark them good. Mark them so you'll see them. When the Bible will pop up and you see it, you'll be reading it. So, what was I doing here? And then you go, oh yeah, black dog. Matter of fact, on these scriptures, you can write black dog, black dog, black dog. Are you ready? Luke 8. Let's go to verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. But the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts. At least they should believe and be saved. Well, how can he take the word out of my heart that fast? Well, watch this. Do you really believe that? Does he really know what he's talking about? That really doesn't matter to you. Talking to you. As he's talking to you and telling you, you know, that sounds good in church, but when you get outside, he don't know what it's like to be in the real world. Then try working where I work. And, wow. They that are on the rock are they, verse 13, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Didn't say you weren't going to bring forth fruit. It said the fruit that you're bringing forth, you're not going to get a chance to finish what you started. Wow. I'm going to go secular on you for a minute. How many watch Kevin Costner as Robin Hood? Anybody watch that? Remember that? Robin Hood? I like to watch movies and just be inspired by the leadership and inspired by the spiritual values that are being taught, even though they're not even trying to. Although, I will tell you about the little story about Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner, true story. Kevin Costner was making a movie, and he was on the way to catch a plane to get to a movie, and there was a young lady who had just lost her dad. And she's crying, and she's sitting down there, and she's really crying hard. And he goes over, and he says, ma'am, I can't help but notice you really look upset. Is there anything we can do? What can I do to help you? And she said, my dad just died. And he sat down beside her, and his personal assistant came and said, Mr. Costner, your plane is ready. You need to board now, or you're going to miss it. He said, you go find a way to reschedule my plane. I'm going to stay here until I'm not needed anymore. And the lady later said that was the biggest help she had had after her father died, because he stayed right with her until she could calm down and get a grip. And then she'd get on her plane and go to her people. So now, in that movie Robin Hood, his brother Will, I can't think of what Will's last name was, but his brother Will had been fighting him the whole time. And then after they all got destroyed, the sheriff come in and had everything destroyed. Robin Hood's upset and he's walking away. And he's going, I've messed up. And as he said, I've messed up. His brother Will, who had always been up against him, went up to him and said, watch this. He said, I've got more reason than anybody to hate you. He said, but I found myself believing in you. And he said, now's not the time to quit. Y'all watch the movie, you'll see. He says, I've got one question for you, brother. Are you going to finish what you started. I can hear the black dog. I hear him. The cares of life chokes you, and your fruit dies, meaning you can't finish what you started. Wow. So watch this. Watch this. This might be a shouting sermon, but it's definitely going to be one to make you grow and get the black dog off of you. Number 6, worry keeps you from focusing on what God really wants you to pursue. You're so worried about everything happening, everything going on around you, all this stuff's happening around you. He said, but I know you have all these needs. I know the very hairs on your head. I know what you need. I know what you need. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I need. Come on now. God says, I know what you need, but I'm going to tell you what I need from you. And this will get the black dog off you faster than anything in the world. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all the other things will be given to you as well. Wow. I need God. I need God. Help me. Help me, God. Help me. I need. The black dog's suffocating me. Help. I need you, God. And God says, I need something from you. Seek me. Don't blame me all the time. Don't put me on a shelf. And when you need me, pull me off like a genie in a bottle. Here comes God. I'm going to take my cross. I'm going to do like this. And the genie's going to come out and God's going to bless me. No. Put me first. I'm not a Band-Aid. That's what God says. I'm not a Band-Aid. I'm not a parachute. I'm wanting to be with you when you hit that beach. I want you to be clothed in the armor I've given you so when you hit that beach, you can hit it hard. And you can take on the black dog. You see, some things we forget. When you do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. But God is not going to do what you can do first. When you do what you can do, then God will do what you can't do. The problem is we want God to do it all. Okay, God, here's my sheepskin laid out here. Here's my wool. I want you to wet it. I'm being Gideon here. Here's my wool. I need you to do this, 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 and this. And if all these things fall into place, I know it's you, God. God's saying, well, you got 7 items up there, and I'm only going to do 1 because the other 6 you need to be doing. And until you do the 6, you ain't going to see number 7. But the black dog's got me. You want him off of you? Do the 6. I'll do number 7. You see, God says, put me up front. And I'll lead the way. I thought it was kind of cool. Put me up front, I'll lead the way. Signed, God. Put me up front, I'll lead the way. Psalm 37:25 says, this is David talking, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Number 7. Living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. Because remember, worry is tied up in anxiety. And anxiety is connected to tomorrow. And so if I'm always living in tomorrow, I can't even live my today because what if? And God's saying, I got so much for you now. And right now, I can build something in you that takes care of that tomorrow. But if you're always in tomorrow, you'll never be able to get it today. What if, God? What if? What if it don't work out? What if they don't do this? What if? What if? And God says, take a breath. Live for me today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your safety. That's what salvation is. Today is the day of your miracle. Today is the day that I'm going to take care of you today. You know, I always was amazed when it said, if the women on the Titanic would have known what was coming up, they would have had that second cake. Very powerful song. Y'all gonna be able to sing it? You think y'all can sing it? I'm talking to the two guys back there in the back that look like they're not sure, maybe. I'm going to read the words. Where did I ever put the word? Here it is. Maybe they'll sing it. Maybe they won't, but I'm going to talk it. I remember the hemp hills. Now I'm telling my age. The hemp hills. I remember back then when you used to get the things called albums. Yeah. When I was a disc jockey, I could tell I had 8-track tapes, and I had CDs were just coming out, and I had a 50-cent record player, and I had a dollar record player. 50 cent, a dollar, yeah. One it took 2 quarters on the needle to keep it from skipping, and the other I had to put 4 quarters on it to keep it from skipping. So it was my 50 cent turntable and my dollar turntable. I'm going to get to that song in just a minute. Let me just show you this first. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Somebody say amen. Oh, yeah. Yet you do not know the least thing about what's going to happen tomorrow. We can say, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Really? I remember at Procter & Gamble when I was working engineering, and I've told this before. Remember those little day timers you could get in your pocket before they had computers and had a little pocket computer and day timers? All this is just a little thing that you wrote down what you were going to do. And every day I'd sit there in the team meeting, I'd write down stuff as we're talking about what needed to be done. And if I really needed to do it really, really, really bad, I put maybe 4 stars by it. If I didn't have to do it really, really bad, I would put 2 stars. If I could get by until whenever I could do it, I'd put 1 star. And I'd have that little list. And every day when I walked in, as I kid you not, I still had 4-star stuff that I hadn't done from the day before. Because where I worked at, I was too busy working on projects and working and putting out fires. So I get working and go, David Linton, we need you over here in this division. David Linton, we need you over here, you know, in Pampers. We need you over here in Always. We need you over here, you know. And I go over there and I'm going, I want to tell them, I got things I got to get done. Really? No, you're going to do this. Some of y'all right now, you got all this stuff, these little day timers, and you got your 4 stars and your 3 stars and your 2 stars, but you keep being consumed by the black dog and get none of it accomplished. So watch. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke amidst, that is visible for a little while and then disappears in the thin air. So watch this. I'm going to show you what God promises us. Watch this. Did you know God did not promise us more than today? He just told us. All you got is today. 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 I'm going to let it sink in. All you got is today. It was amazing because as I was working on this, there was a TV show on. And a father or a grandfather had asked his granddaughter and grandson to go eat pizza with them. This is a comedy show. You're thinking, it's, you know, she said, I don't have time, Gramps. I'll just go with you some other time. And she went, and she walks off. And within an hour, he was dead. All of a sudden, that comedy show was not a comedy anymore. And she told her mom, she said, all he wanted was me to go eat pizza with him. And I was too consumed with myself. And I'll never have that opportunity again. And I was working on this at the exact same time. Your life is but a vapor. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. So he didn't promise more than today, but he did promise his presence. He said, I'm going to be with you. He did promise his power. He said, I'm going to be in you. He did promise his provision. He said, I'm going to be for you. And he did promise forever. Wow. Very, very powerful stuff. You know, the hemp hills. Joe Hemphill. He kind of sounded like Sonny Bono. He couldn't sing much, but he could sure write a song. Kind of like Kris Kristofferson. I was just getting into ministry. Things were tough. Brother Hasett was trying to kill me. Procter & Gamble was trying to kill me. Between both of them, they had about 80 hours a week coming out of me. I had DC and Daniel. They wanted a dad. And of course, Beverly wanted her husband. And there was times I'd go home and I'd just get out back in the woods. I'd walk about almost, I'd say a good half a mile in the woods. And I'd sit on a stump. And I'd say, God, I don't know what to do. I just have no idea. I'm trying to be a good dad. I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm trying to be a good employee. I'm trying to be a good minister. And I'm trying to honor all those over me. And I remember one day when I was praying, this song came out. Riding down the road, and God let me know everything was going to be all right. Here it is. Consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin, but there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow. He doesn't plant nor sow, but he's fed by the master who watches him grow. We have a heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine. He hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, yet he's never too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. You want the black dog off your back? Step outside and look around and watch God's wonder. And know that if he can do all this, he can take care of you. All guys, come on up here. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Close your eyes. Everybody standing up, your head bowed, your eyes closed. The black dog. The black dog. The black dog. Wow.